Amen. Thank you, Brother Bierman. Great song and very well done. Thank the Lord for that. Well, we're in Daniel chapter number 6 tonight, and I want you to turn there in just a moment. We'll begin reading. On Sunday nights, I've chosen to do a series on prayer. And let me tell you that in my studying, boy, I tell you, God has convicted my heart, but He has challenged me in a special way. But today is Mother's Day, and moms, once again, happy Mother's Day to you. And all of us really can celebrate today because God has given us a mother, and we're thankful for them. Today, on the way home from church, my family and I, we were laughing and talking a lot about our kids when they were very young and the different things that they used to do. And, you know, kids are all different. And there's little things that they do, little habits that they do. And we were laughing about them. And I reminded my wife of how often, you know, if, you know, one of us would go into a room and close the door, that the kids often would stick their fingers underneath the door, you know, and put sticky notes and toys and things underneath the door. And it reminded me of something that I read, that a mom, she got so tired of every time she went to the restroom that the kids followed her there and they did something just like that. And so she put a sign on the bathroom door. And here you go, ladies, moms, this is for you, all right? Here's what the sign read. It said, "Attention, everyone, the bathroom door is closed. Please do not stand there and talk, whine, or ask questions. Wait until I get out. Yes, it is locked. I want it that way. No, it is not broken. I am not trapped. I know I have left it unlocked and even open at times since you were born because I was afraid some horrible tragedy might occur while I was in there. But it's been 10 years and I want some privacy. Do not ask me how long I will be. I will come out when I am done. Do not bring the phone to the bathroom door. Do not go running back to the phone yelling, 'She's in the bathroom.' Do not begin to fight as soon as I go in. Do not stick your little fingers under the door and wiggle them. This was funny only when you were two. Do not slide pennies, Legos, or notes under the door. Even when you were two, this got a little tiresome. If you have followed me down the hall, talking and are still talking as you face this closed door, please turn around, walk away, and wait for me in another room. I'll be glad to listen to you when I am done. Oh, and yes, I still love you," you know? Well, you know, I think many of you moms, you can understand that, you know? And sometimes you may have to retreat to the restroom just to find some privacy and all of that. And I remember our kids doing that. And yes, they put Legos and pennies and all kinds of things under the door, you know? And I don't know what it is. It's just a part of motherhood, it seems like. So happy Mother's Day to you. And I pray that you've had a wonderful day and that you're reminded of God's blessing and goodness in your life. Well, tonight, the life of prayer. I'm sure that many of you can remember hearing something like this. So-and-so is going to lead us in prayer. I've been asked that many times. I go to people's homes and maybe we're having a meal together. I've heard it many times. "Pastor, would you lead us in prayer?" I'd be glad to. Or I've even said it to other folks. "Brother so-and-so, would you lead us in prayer?" Well, tonight, I want to let Daniel, the prophet, lead us in prayer. And tonight, I want to preach on this subject. Daniel will lead us in prayer. Have you ever thought about the great Bible characters and how they prayed? I will tell you this. You'll not find one man or woman of God in the Word of God that was not used of God, that was not a person of prayer. Prayer really is, as my pastor said, the Christian life. The Christian life is prayer. It's what it is all about. We could compare prayer to communion, communication. My wife and I will celebrate this July, 22 years of being married. I thank God for my wife. But you know, one of the most important part of our marriage is communication, talking to one another. Me talking to her, her talking to me, me listening and her listening. It's a part of our fellowship together. And without that communion, there would really be no close relationship. Just yesterday, in between the hurricane, the tornado, and the sunshine, we took a walk. You know how it is in Ohio, you know? And we took a walk in our neighborhood and held hands and talked together. It's very precious to me. And I believe precious to her. But folks, we have a God in heaven who wants to hear from you in prayer. He has given us the privilege of prayer. And let us look at a great Bible character named Daniel. Daniel tonight is going to lead us in prayer. Daniel chapter number 6. Let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 1. We're going to read a good portion together because I think you know this story. But let's read it together. The Bible says in Daniel 6, verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. I love that thought. You ought to remember that. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. I think that's precious. They found him praying. They knew he'd be praying. And the Bible says, in making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law, the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establish may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. Forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who had delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What a great story. We've read it and heard this story since we were children. But it's a story to be told once again, because it's a story about a man who prayed. Daniel didn't pray because it was convenient to pray. Daniel prayed because it was his life. Listen, Daniel didn't start praying when the decree was made, and Daniel didn't stop praying. Daniel continued doing what God had put in his heart to do. Daniel will lead us in prayer. I want to show you a numerous amount of things that I find in this passage about the life of prayer. By the way, let's think about Daniel just for a moment. Daniel here, he's in a foreign land. I mean, he's been brought there by captivity. And yet Daniel does not stop doing the very thing that God has enabled him to do. By the way, there was no temple worship going on there in Babylon. There was no Sabbath day. There was no word of God to be read. But Daniel did the one thing that all of us can do. No one can stop us from praying to the God of heaven. Do you know that no matter what imprisonment might come or what a persecution might come, no one can hinder the life of prayer? I want to ask you a question this evening. If there was a decree made, would it even hinder you and me? Would we even go about our life as normal? Because for us, the life of prayer is not as consistent as it was for Daniel. Think about those men. They were trying to find something about Daniel's life to find fault with, and they found none. Now, that did not mean that Daniel was a sinless man, but he was a blameless man. He was a man of God, a man of integrity, a man who walked with God. His words, his acts, everything about him was pleasing in the sight of God. But I believe it stemmed from Daniel's life of prayer. And let me say something to you tonight. Prayer is not just a work that we do. Prayer takes the whole man to pray. You see, you can pray, but you won't pray long unless you pray with your whole mind and heart and soul. Prayer encompasses all that we are. It is the greatest work, but it is the most laboring work. Daniel was a man of God because he prayed. Daniel was a man of integrity because he prayed. But Daniel prayed because he walked with his God. And here was Daniel in a territory of godlessness and a land of captivity, and yet Daniel could not be deprived of his communion with God. You see, the prayer ministry of Daniel is a challenging example for all of us today. Let me give you some simple thoughts. Number one, Daniel learned to pray at a regular time. Now, let me be very clear about this. I personally believe that prayer, the Bible says we are to pray continually. Now, what does that mean? That means that we are to live in the very spirit, the very atmosphere of prayer. I believe it can be compared to maybe a relationship that you have. Let me just use this as the closest relationship that I have here on earth, but that is with my wife. You know something, when I call my wife on the phone, I do not have to pick up. I don't have to like introduce myself to her. I think she knows me. I hope she does. I don't have to say, this is Aaron, your husband. We've been married for almost 22 years now, and I've tried to take good care of you. Will you listen to me? I don't have to do that. You know why? Because there is a communion. We are talking continually. That doesn't mean we talk every moment of the day, but the lines of communication are open. Well, God wants us to pray continually. We are to live in the very spirit of prayer. That means driving down the road, that we can pray to God, standing at a cash register, that we can pray, and whatever moment it may be. But there should be in the life of the child of God regular times to pray. I believe that it is important that we pray before we go to bed at night. I believe it's important that we pray before we begin the day. You should pray before you eat a meal. You should pray about making decisions. But there should be regular times of prayer. Now look back in Daniel chapter 6. And it says in verse number 10 that Daniel's practice was to pray three times a day. Notice what it says in Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel had a consistency of praying to God. Now let me stop and say this. The Lord is not impressed with our length of our prayer or the many times that we might pray in a day, but God simply wants us to commune with Him. For Daniel, in his life, he prayed three times a day. We believe that Daniel prayed in the morning, at noon, and at the evening. In fact, we think of David. Now, I want to read this to you. And David said in Psalm chapter number 55, in verse number 17, David said, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." By the way, why did David there talk about starting praying in the evening? I think that's very significant. Evening, morning, and noon. Why didn't he say morning and afternoon and evening? Because I believe David understood something. I believe that so much of what happens in the next day depends on what we do in the evening. I believe that Bible reading in the evening is good. Prayer in the evening is good. It's good to go to bed with the Word of God in our heart and mind. It is good to go to bed spending time in supplication with God. I love to pray with my wife in the evening. That's time that we have chosen to pray together. And we have a chair in our room that we can sit together and we can pray together. I can hear my wife's prayer. She can hear my prayer. And we go to bed praying to God. And David said, "Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray." Think of that. Daniel had a regular time to pray. He deliberately arranged to give prayer a definite and a systematic place in his strenuous life. Now look, if you think that Daniel's life was easy, we're not thinking right. If you think that Daniel's life was simple, it was not. It was complex. In fact, Daniel was a government official. Daniel had a strenuous life. Daniel was over lots of people, and yet Daniel took time to pray. And by the way, none of us have time to pray. We make time to pray. Do you have time to do certain things? Not really. But we do what is important to you and me. And for Daniel, it was important that he prayed. It was important. You know, most of us, we eat three meals a day. I don't know of too many times that I have just accidentally forgot to eat. I don't do that. And I don't think you do that. Now, I pray that we spend some time in prayer and fasting. But you know something? We take time to eat because we get hungry. Because we know the necessity of food and we like to eat. But I wonder about our prayer life. Do we consider it necessary? Do we consider it so important that we set aside regular time to pray, that this is when I pray? You see, Daniel had a habit. He cultivated the habit of turning to God at a regular periods of time through the day. Now, God is not saying to us, okay, if you don't pray at 7 o'clock, then I'm going to be upset with you. Our God does not live that way. But folks, do we pray? Do we set aside times to pray? In fact, we think about Daniel's busy life and, you know, he must have faced the temptation to allow the duties of his active life as a government official to interfere with his prayer life. He did not let other duties rob him of his time with God. Now, if you're like me, so often when I come to the time of prayer, that's when I remember all kinds of things I'm supposed to be doing. In fact, I'm sad to say this, but there's been times I've spent time in prayer, and when I'm on my knees in prayer, I think, Lord, I need to take care of this, and I'll be right back. And you know something? You know what happens? When we do that, it interrupts our time of prayer. The devil wants to rob us of that regular time alone with God. So Daniel learned to pray at a regular time. Number two, Daniel's prayer habits led him to establish a regular place of prayer. Now let me say this. The believer's communion with God is not restricted to any specific time or place. God is not saying that you have to have a place. You have to have a certain time. But we are creatures of habit. God has made us that way. For instance, I'm thankful that next Sunday morning, 10:45, that's a regular time for us to come and worship God. And we can come to this place. You've had to be in your homes for a while, but now you can come to this place. And look, we do that so that helps us to worship God. It helps us to have fellowship. It helps us to keep that command before God. But what about our prayer life? Do you have a regular time and do you have a regular place? In fact, the Bible talks about the prayer closet. When I first came to know the Lord, I literally thought that meant I need to go in my closet and pray. And I thought it had to be the closet, you know? But what if a person doesn't have a closet? Can they not obey God? Can they not fulfill the command of God? Well, listen, the prayer closet was just a place designated that God was saying to shut out the world, to shut out everything else, to be you and God. That's what the prayer closet is about. All of us need a regular place. I don't know what that place may be for you. You may have many places that you go to pray. In fact, as a pastor, there are places around this property that I can get alone and pray. It's hard to do that. There's places in my house that I can go alone and pray. When it's warm enough, there's a place outside that I love to pray. But there ought to be regular times, but a regular place of prayer. You see, Daniel's prayer life was an open acknowledgement of his dependence upon God. In fact, let's think of our Savior. The Bible says in Mark 1, verse 35, the Bible says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, speaking of Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. I believe Jesus had many solitary places where he would go to pray. In fact, the disciples knew where to find him. You know why? Because he had regular times And he had a regular place of prayer. Do you have that? You know something, these are simple thoughts about prayer, that we ought to have a regular time and we ought to have a regular place to where we sanctify that place. That's where I'm going to pray. And folks, if the Savior, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, needed to pray to His Heavenly Father, how much more do you and I need to pray? Daniel prayed. And by the way, you're in Daniel chapter 6. Would you go back to Daniel chapter number 2? I want to show you something that I find very unique. In fact, this is the first instance in Daniel chapter 2 of united prayer in Scripture. It's the first time that we pray, we find men coming together in prayer and God answering their prayer. Daniel chapter 2, now I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but in just a moment we'll pick up in verse number 17. But before we begin to read, know what has happened. Here, before Daniel in the lion's den, as we would refer to it, took place, the king, the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar, he had a vision. And he came to all his astrologers and soothsayers and guys that could so-called read the visions and all of that. And Nebuchadnezzar had a vision, but none of them could interpret the vision. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar was going to kill all of them, including Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, when Daniel heard about what had happened, he went to the king and he said, "King, give me some time to pray, and I will tell you what the vision is." In fact, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 17, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee." Notice that, we desired of Thee, "for Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." There was the first time in Scripture that we find where men met together and prayed together, and they had almost a symphony of praise together, and prayer that God would reveal something through prayer. Now folks, understand this. Prayer is the way that we receive things from God. Prayer. I believe with all my heart that if Daniel and the men had not prayed, God would not have revealed to them what needed to be revealed. You see, Daniel had a regular time to pray. He prayed 3 times a day, but he had a regular place. Number 3, I want you to notice this. Daniel prayed in reverence to God. In fact, as we think about the Lord's Prayer, we call it that, but it's not really the Lord's Prayer. Jesus could never pray what we call the Lord's Prayer. I believe it's better called the Model Prayer. And a part of the Model Prayer is, "Hallowed be Thy name." There is a reverence that we should give to God. And how did Daniel exhibit that reverence to God? The Bible says back in Daniel 6, verse number 10, it says that he kneeled upon his knees. Now let me stop and say this. The Bible does not prescribe any definite posture in prayer. I believe throughout the Bible we find men standing to pray. We find men bowing down to pray. We find men sitting to pray. We find men falling on their face in prayer. But God is not concerned about the posture of our body, but He is concerned about the reverence that we enter into that time of prayer. It is a time of reverence. I like to be able to kneel and pray. Kneeling to me symbolizes for me that I'm humbling myself before God. I'm kneeling before God. There's times when I enjoy, if I can find a quiet place and maybe in the woods, to walk and pray, to walk and talk to God in prayer. There's times when I, even when I'm walking and praying, that I can sit on a log or sit on the ground and pray to God. And we find throughout the Bible, but God is concerned about our reverence in prayer. Daniel kneeled upon his knees. He prayed in reverence. But number four, Daniel prayed in earnesty. He prayed in persistence, earnest persistence to God. Notice what it says in Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. Do you know why they found him praying? Because he'd been praying for a while. Listen, they caught him in the very act. I want to ask you something. Have you been caught in prayer? Have your children came to talk to you and found you praying? Has your wife came to talk to you and found you praying? Has your husband came to talk to you and found you on your knees in prayer? Can anybody say that, well, I found them praying? That's normal for them. That's what they do. You see, Daniel lived a life of persistence to God. He continued to pray. He continued to make supplication to God. He didn't stop praying. He sought the face of the Lord. And I believe that in my life, sometimes I get weary in praying. Prayer is work. And sometimes we stop praying right before I believe God is getting ready to answer. I heard the story of a little boy in Jamaica. And he had come to know Jesus as his Savior, and the missionary was trying to teach the little boy to pray. In fact, in order to teach him how to pray, he had taught the little boy some little prayers to pray. Well, it came a time when the missionary was gone for a week or two, and during that time, the little missionary boy got sick. But he prayed while he was sick. When the missionary came back, he said, "Thomas, I heard that you were sick while I was gone. Thomas, did you remember some of the prayers that I taught you?" And Thomas said, "No, sir, I couldn't remember the prayers, but all I did was beg unto God." Well, let me tell you something. Begging to God is learning how to pray. He just knew how to beg. He knew how to call out to God. Listen, the Bible says in James chapter 5, it says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." God wants us to prevail in prayer. And Daniel prayed. I mean, all throughout the Bible, we find this man praying. And he continued in the matter of prayer. Daniel prayed in earnest persistence. Number five, Daniel prayed with thanksgiving. He prayed with thanksgiving. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. It says that here he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. For the life of Daniel, thanksgiving was a part of his prayer life. And folks, we are not really praying unless thanksgiving is a part of our praying. In fact, I believe the Bible talks about that our prayer life should not just be asking God for things. There should be, the Bible says, intercessions, supplications, and giving of thanks. That's what real prayer is about. You know, praying is praying for other people. That's intercession. Real prayer is supplication. That's when we pray to God for Him to answer a specific need and request. But giving of thanks is another part of our praying. You know something, it is a joyous and a vital part in our praying that we thank the Lord. We praise Him. Daniel prayed with thanksgiving. Number six, Daniel prayed with the spirit of confession. Now, I want you to notice something. We're there in Daniel chapter 6. Would you go to Daniel chapter number 9? And we're going to find Daniel praying again. I mean, the life of Daniel. Daniel, lead us in prayer. I would have loved to have heard Daniel pray audibly, but aren't you thankful that we have the Word of God, that God has recorded the prayers of Daniel, at least some of them, for us to see. And when Daniel leads us in prayer, boy, I want to learn to pray. I know this. I remember hearing the story of a man who prayed with Alexander Wyatt. Alexander Wyatt was a man of prayer. And he said that as Alexander Wyatt began to pray, while he was listening to him praying, he thought to himself, I don't know how to pray like this man knows how to pray. And I think it's so important to hear Daniel pray. Look what he prays in Daniel chapter number 9. Let's begin in verse number 3. Notice what the Bible says. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Then I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants, the prophets, which spake in Thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day. To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither Thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against Thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against Thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against Him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed Thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey Thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him. Here is Daniel, a blameless man, a man who knows God and walks with God, and yet Daniel prayed with the spirit of confession. Daniel knew the sinfulness of his own inner heart, and he was not too proud to confess it. Do you know that every one of us, we are proud, we are sinful, we are selfish? Listen, when we come to that time of prayer, it must be a time of confession to God. It must be a time of acknowledging our sin in the eyes of the Lord. I spoke about Alexander Wyatt. He's been on my heart lately. I have a book by him that is on the matter of prayer. But once when Alexander Wyatt was addressing his church, he astonished them by saying that he found out the name of the most sinful man in Edinburgh, and he had come to tell them. Boy, when Alexander Wyatt, the pastor of this great church, spoke that he had found the most sinful man in Edinburgh, everyone he looked around, they wondered what name he would call, and he bent forward and whispered, "His name is Alexander Wyatt." There was a man who acknowledged his sin before God. And I'm going to tell you something. Mark it down. If we are men and women of prayer, and by the way, you ever thought, what does it take to become a person of prayer? I don't know that I know the answer to that, but I do know that it means that we have open communication with God, that we can enter into His presence, that we love to be in His presence. But I want you to think about this just for a moment. If you and I are men and women of prayer, we will know our own sinfulness better than anyone else. Charles Spurgeon used to say this. He said, "People like to criticize me, but I know worse things about myself than they could ever know." You know what he was acknowledging? His own sinfulness. And I believe that prayer helps us to be humble. You cannot pray and be proud. You can't do it. You won't do it long. You won't enjoy doing it. But prayer humbles us. Prayer brings us to the place of utter dependency upon God. But prayer, when we're in His presence, We see ourselves for what we really are. That's why Daniel was a man of confession. Folks, the closer we live to God, and you cannot be close to God without prayer, the closer we live to God, the more conscious we are of our own sinfulness in life. Those who live most fully in the light of God's holiness are the ones who are the most conscious of their own sinfulness in life. That's why I believe Daniel prayed what he prayed. You know what? We would almost stop Daniel and say, Daniel, you're not a part of that. But Daniel knew in his own heart of his own sinfulness. Daniel prayed, number six, with the spirit of confession. Number seven, and lastly tonight, Daniel prayed with expectancy. He prayed expecting God to answer his prayer. Would you, in closing, go to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter 5 tonight. And I want you to see this. By the way, we must use our Bibles as a guide for our praying. And I believe that the Bible launches us into prayer. And the Word of God enables us to pray. In fact, George Mueller used to pray and then read his Bible. And there's nothing wrong with that. But he said that when he would spend the time in prayer and then read, he had a hard time praying. He had a hard time knowing what to pray for. And he would spend time praying and then read his Bible. Then he changed it. Then he was led to begin his devotional time with God by saying a short prayer to the Lord, that God would open his eyes and the Spirit of God would be his teacher. And then he would get into the Word of God and he would pray through the Bible. By the way, prayer and the Word of God should go hand in hand. Many times when I've read the Bible, God has brought me to my knees in prayer. God has brought me to my face on my Bible saying, God, forgive me and help me. It has brought me to praise to God. The Word of God has brought me to joy and thanksgiving. And I want you to see tonight that God wants us to live this life of prayer. But really, the life of prayer encompasses all that we are. It's not something that we do here and it's segregated from our life. It is not something compartmentalized. It is literally our life. And we cannot pray and be unholy. We cannot pray and live unrighteously before God. You see, prayer is really the spiritual temperature of our life. It is the Christian life, our prayer life. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Now, folks, it is very important to pray in the name of Jesus, but to pray according to His will. Do you know prayer is not me getting God to bend God's will? Prayer brings me in accordance to the will of God. There's been many times in my prayer time that God has led me to pray about something and I knew it was His will and there was a peace that came when I was praying it and the answer came. The prayer was answered. But I know of times when I've prayed and it's almost as if the Lord has said, "No, son, no, that's not my will." And I've known it in prayer. Folks, Daniel has led us in prayer. And I want to learn to pray like Daniel. Folks, tonight, as we think about his life, God used Daniel because he was a man of prayer. I don't know about you, but I want to be used of the Lord. You know something? When we pray, God works. Let us be people of prayer. Think about it. Daniel, he had a regular time to pray. You ought to have a regular time that you pray. If it's better for you to pray at night, then choose that time and make that time to where nothing can hinder that time. That's a meeting with you and God. If it's for you in the morning and that's when you can be quiet before the Lord, then take that time and make that something very important. But secondly, Daniel had a regular place to prayer, to pray. It may be for you. There's many different places. But I believe the Lord Jesus had different places, a solitary place, and there he prayed. Pray in expectancy. Pray in a spirit of confession. Pray waiting on the Lord. Pray that God will hear and God will do what only he can do. Daniel, lead us in prayer. Let's bow our heads tonight. Our Father in heaven, I am truly no expert in this matter of prayer. But Lord, you are speaking to me in my study, and you're speaking to me even while I was preaching tonight. Lord, we ask you to teach us to pray. But Father, help us to have a regular time and a regular place. Help us to have reverence in our praying. Lord, help us to have a spirit of confession before you. And Lord, may we determine in our hearts that we are going to pray. And Lord, may we live in that very spirit of prayer. Father, I pray that you would bless everyone that is listening tonight and watching, or who may watch this service. God, may us tonight, before we go to bed, may we set aside time just to pray and a place to pray. And Lord, when we rise in the morning, before we ever begin the day, may we seek your precious face. Oh Lord, thank you for the royal invitation that we have to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.